Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're tonight's entertainment.
Look at my butt. Now look at my front butt.
Wada, 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 wada.
Open the circuit to the wave motion gun. Open the circuit.
Blood receiver pressure increases.
All the ship's energy is now in the wave motion gun.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
Oh, did I hurt your feelings?
Only Magneto's right. There's a war coming. You sure you're on the right side?
Everybody, and welcome to For the Love of Costumes, a Hallow Geek special. As you can tell if you've listened, we at Geekploitation, preferably me, love every bit of Halloween. We've talked about movies so far, music, but you can't touch Halloween without the costume. And if you really want to go to really what the cutting edge of what people are doing with costumes, Halloween or not, you have to really go into the cosplay scene. I mean, even some of the ones that are not elaborate should have a sign on that says, "Yes, you're lazy." And with us tonight, Carl won't be here tonight. It's a surprise, but he's busy in church telling them that their singing sucks and acting like organ playing Klaus Kinski. But we have Doc Sludge here. Who is
hey.
A character?
Oh, yes.
Say hello,
sure,
Doc.
I'm a character. Hey, everybody. Doc here. Yay. And we have a guest, too.
Yeah, we have a guest, too. Brian Hughley, a guy I've known for a couple of years now. He definitely has his fingers into the cosplay scene.
Thanks for having me again.
When did you start? What was your first cosplay and what made you jump the fence?
Okay, back in 2011, I actually went to my first con. That was Wizard World Columbus. I was on a tight budget. I only had $50 to play with, so I just actually made me a cheap Steel costume. For those people who don't know who Steel is, he is one of the superheroes that took over for Superman after his death. So, you know, I made me a Steel costume, went to the con, had a good time, but I was surprised about how many people wanted my picture. I'm like, I'm just a guy in a cheap $50 costume, made my hammer out of a roll and a tissue box with duct tape, but people will love my costume. I can't explain why, but everyone will love my costume, you know, asking to take pictures of me left and right. So, you know, I really enjoyed the cosplay experience. So after that, I'm like, well, I'm going to go to Wizard World Columbus the following year, and I just been hooked. Like, whenever I go to a Wizard World Columbus Con, I always cosplay.
Very cool.
And you picked Steel because he's a Superman character, not because you were a big Shaquille O'Neal fan.
No, actually, because I'm a Superman fan. Superman, he's like my favorite superhero. But also, I wanted to do something because obviously at the time, you know, obviously it's my first cosplay, so I'm like, okay, I'm black. How about I do a black character, you know? And it was pretty simple, so I went ahead and did Steel.
Very cool.
What I
love
about Steel is the first 4 or 5 months that they introduced him, you didn't know he was black.
Yeah.
He was just in that complete Steel costume. You couldn't tell who it was. Well, that's
right.
When they were doing the mystery, were any of these guys the real Superman? Which I can remember annoying a lot of fans because everybody was taking their bets. Which one's the real Superman?
Oh, you know, on the subject of Superman, I used to have the issue still in the poly bag of when Superman died. And at the time, everybody said, oh, it's going to be worth thousands and thousands and hundreds of dollars. You know, I actually got it assessed last year at its value in mint condition. Try $2 because of overpopulation of the market.
Yeah.
Ooh,
if you can,
that's a bug
killer. If you can get the one with the armband and everything, that might make you a sweet $15.
Yeah, that's the one I had, but I had to sell my comic book collection except for my Werewolf by Night, number one, and my Godzilla, number one, and a couple other ones that my father bought me, but I had some major problems last year, and that's why I had to sell them, unfortunately. And I made a grand old $30 at 5 to 30 cents per comic book. That's the only way I could sell them. That's ridiculous. I feel like I needed to not do that, but I had to survive, so. But anyway, Superman is awesome. Steel is awesome. So there.
Yeah. He's one of those characters, I don't know why they got rid of him after the mid-90s Reign of Superman thing and the movie, which really, really shouldn't talk about that much.
I think they got rid of him because of the movie.
Probably.
Well, he actually did have an appearance or two in the Justice League cartoon, which I actually really didn't watch, but I know he was featured
yeah.
there a few times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't blame anybody for that movie being bad. It came out the wrong. It just was not. It wasn't Shaq's fault. It wasn't DC's fault. I don't know whose fault it was, but I mean, it's a fun movie, but it just one of the ones to just go, oh man. After a while.
Okay. Would you say that Steel was better or worse than Meteor Man?
I would say a hell of a lot better than Meteor Man, that's for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Steel didn't have any known serial rapist in the movie as a character.
Ooh. Well, also, Steel was fun, though, but it was just... I think it's because Shaq really doesn't act very well, honestly. But, of course, I'm talking, this is coming from a guy who loves Shaq Fu for Genesis.
Yeah. I mean, Meteor Man and Me was a comic book movie without a comic book and really not much superhero. Because I can remember what's-his-name who played him, getting his ass handed to him for 99.9% of the movie.
Are you talking about Robert Townsend?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he actually was going up the Golden Lords, and a little Easter egg for you. Actually, Don Cheadle, a.k.a. Rhodey, a.k.a. War Machine, was in the movie as one of the Golden Lords.
Yeah. I remember he was doing an interview, showed him the set with the blonde high top he had in the movie, and he's just like, oh, man, what the hell you got to bring that up for? Just like when the Blade movie hits, you've probably seen a lot of Blade clock cosplayers then. Or do you still see them nowadays?
Well, to be honest, like me, see, I really, I'll say probably 2013, that's when I start following a lot of cosplayers online, really getting into cosplay, following cosplayers. And And I would say, I do see like a lot of Blade cosplayers, but I really can say if they really emerged after the first movie, since I got into cosplay like so late in the game.
Okay.
But I actually have
just like this year. Yeah. This year the running joke is going to be there's going to be like 30 million Harley Quinns from Suicide Squad look going out.
Oh, most definitely.
But
I mean,
aren't they ignoring
the fact that it's popular cosplay?
Yeah. Aren't they ignoring the fact for the past 4 years before Suicide Squad hit, there has been a shitload of Harley Quinn cosplayers?
Well, her character is very popular, you know?
Yeah.
And a little bit of history. Harley Quinn was actually first shown in the animated series, the original Batman in the animated series. That was her first appearance, not in the comic book. And then the character got so popular, then they melded her into the comic books, which is awesome. I mean, it just shows you how much different types of media can influence comic books and, you know, different types, different cultures. It's great.
I think my favorite one of his, as I said before the show, was his Taskmaster, just because how did you get the mask to look that amazing and spot on?
You're asking me or?
Yeah, you.
For a costume.
Yeah, for Taskmaster, how did you get such a perfect looking, how did you get such a perfect looking mask?
Okay. Well, actually, that mask was store bought. I actually bought it on eBay. I don't think it's available anymore, but it was probably the best skull mask that I saw, which I really wanted to wear and obviously make me look really cool, missing this Taskmaster.
Yeah. Did you make the sword yourself, or was that another thing you picked up?
Well, my Taskmaster, everything was store-bought, but I actually bought the belt and I modified it a bit. My actual shield, actually made out of cardboard and craft foam.
Nice.
But
it doesn't
also,
look
actually, bought
from all the pictures I've seen of it.
Those as well.
Actually, I have a series of questions for you, since it's been more into the cosplay than anybody I've actually talked to in person.
Yes,
now,
sure.
Has anyone given you any copyright issues? Because I've been hearing that that's becoming a major problem nowadays, that some corporations get so tweaky about their IPs that they'll go after cosplayers. Has that happened to you, or do you know of any cases of that?
Hasn't happened to me, and hasn't happened to any of my friends that I know of. I mean, to be honest, like, I actually have some of my friends, actually my, what you quote unquote Facebook friends, who've actually been, like, contacted by Marvel to, you know, to do some business ventures because they're impressed by their costumes.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. The company says, can you help us? I mean, that's a lot better than the season of assist, you know. Also, when it comes to picture taking, do people usually just ask you if they can take your picture, or do they just, like, take your picture, and how do you feel about that?
Okay. My experience, because I predominantly just go to Wizard World Columbus cons, because I'm not a big con goer. Like, anybody who knows me will tell you that, and always post that on Facebook, like a lot of my friends, like, oh, are you going to this con? Are you going to this con? No, I'm not a big con goer. At least go to, like, probably one or two cons a year. But in all my experiences attending cons, I usually get a lot of picture requests, and I'm pretty cool with them. But there's occasionally people who take my picture without asking, and
right,
they do it from a distance, and I don't know to after the fact when I'm tagging some random picture on Facebook, and I'm like, well, you know, if that person would have asked for a picture, you know, I would have been more than happy to pose for them. And so usually I come across side view pictures of myself or myself from the back, you know.
Yeah.
But like I said, for the most part, you know, usually people approach me and ask me for a picture, and I'm cool with it.
Pretty cool. Yeah, the one time I went out as Doc Sludge last year, I'll tell you how basic this costume was. It was a black hoodie, the gas mask things, black jeans, combat boots, and this walking stick I had that was about this 6 foot hunk of oak with Norwegian runes on it and some leather and some studs, metal studs and stuff. And I like 14 people just asked me to take a picture. I'm like, absolutely. And I was just kind of wandering around trying to promote my YouTube channel a little bit. I didn't even talk about the YouTube channel. People were just like, where'd you get the stick? And, you know, the area. And like, you know, I made the stick. It's nothing big. But it was really cool. I mean, and I like to work on it and advance it a little bit more so it's an easier thing to get together and it looks a little bit more, you know, cooler, honestly. I didn't have any time to prepare last year. As Steve knows, I was.
Were any of the people who asked for your pictures beautiful women?
No, actually, older men with cameras. I knew that were there laughing at that one. Yeah.
What about you, Byron?
Mostly, you know, to be honest, I noticed that when I go to cons, because, like I said, I have a tendency to cosplay as obscure characters. So, for the most part, I would say most of the people who actually has to take my picture or people who are either, like, new to the comic book pop culture scene, and they just see me, oh, you have an amazing costume. Which character are you? And I tell them, okay, can I get your picture? I'm like, sure. And sometimes I give them a hard time for them to guess who I am, just, you know. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, my experience, I mean, getting picture requests, like I said, I'm pretty cool with it. Now, I know, I've seen a few articles online about this, and I know some cosplayers, they kind of do take offense, which I guess in some aspect you really can't blame them, but I know some cosplayers, like if they're like on a lunch break or on their phone, and you come up to them, ask for a picture, some of them get kind of rubbed the wrong way about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's understandable, but I mean, I would think you have to have, like, a very positive attitude, unless somebody's seriously harassing you.
Right.
To, you know, just keep the positivity going and, like, yeah, sure, no problem with pictures and stuff, but I can definitely understand if my blood sugar is low and I'm eating me glass to do something, you'll get the most evil, evil look from me. But I'll do it after I recharge a little bit.
And see, the thing about me is, like, I'm like, anyone tell you, look, I'm like a generally nice person. I mean, you know, I'm very likable. But so I've never like turned down a picture request. Now, like when I was at Wizard World Columbus this year, back in July, my schedule was so tight. Like I have like panels to go to. Celebrity photo ops I had to do. So, like I said, I actually cosplayed as Hobgoblin, and it's definitely one of my favorite cosplays that I've done, and people just loved it. So, obviously, at Wizard World Columbus this year, I was getting stopped left and right for pics. It was crazy. I mean, it actually didn't mess up my schedule, but it was crazy just getting stopped left and right for pics.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, you probably needed a bodyguard to go around. Mr. Byron is heading somewhere. Please leave him alone. All photo ops are off for the next 10 minutes, please.
I need a bathroom break, please.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, like for example, like I remember when I was in my doing my photo op session with James Marsters, I was in line. I actually had people who also were in line wanted to take my pictures, or people who weren't in the photo op line just coming, hey, can I get your picture, Hobgoblin? It was crazy.
That's awesome. I mean, Hobgoblin is like one of my most favorite design characters in the Marvel Universe. And you did a cosplay. That is so freaking cool. I mean, seriously cool.
He's awesome. Yeah, he's awesome.
Isn't that the one? Yeah, your Hobgoblin costume. Isn't that the one that the show picture right now for those of us who are listening to it?
That's correct.
And who was it that took that picture for you? It's an amazing picture. That's why I used it, because you really can't touch that when it comes to the whole costume thing, the Spider-Man mask taking off in the Hobgoblin.
Yeah, that actually was my friend Brittany, BB Photography. She's an amazing photographer. And that actually was part of my first ever cosplay photo shoot.
Nice.
What's their Facebook page, or where can you go to possibly buy some of her prints or works, or some, just look at them?
Sure. You just can look up BB Photography on Facebook and just type that in the search engine, and you'll find her.
The funniest thing I've seen in the past couple of years I've really seen is how some major stars cosplay into the bigger cons so they could just enjoy the day without being noticed.
Yeah, like, I tell you something, like, he's a hoop, but John Berryman, I'm not sure if you guys saw his Squirrel Girl cosplay for San Diego Comic-Con. That was hilarious.
Nice.
The funniest one I ever seen was when Daniel Radcliffe, the guy who played Harry Potter, spent the whole day at the San Diego Comic-Con unnoticed because he was wearing a Mysterio costume.
I don't think I saw that.
And I forget who, but Sigourney Weaver did a cosplay too and was able to go the whole day at the San Diego Con with her grandkids and not be noticed.
Yeah, I did hear about that one.
I think there's something about that too, but I never saw any pictures.
It looked cool. I mean, it was one of those where you had the guys who were did the Harry Potter stuff to make him the costume.
Okay. Cool.
I would say it'd be the bit to make the two-way helmet that'd be probably the most expensive thing to make.
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
But it is cool that actually the cosplayers and guys like you who actually bust their butts can go to a con and get all these photo requests and stuff. The ones I feel sorry for is the females sometimes.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how I've heard a lot of negative things, you know, not negative things about them, but negative happenings around them at different cons. And I feel so bad, you know?
Brian agrees with you, but the beautiful women at cons are pieces of art. They're gorgeous pieces of art. What does a museum say when you're looking at gorgeous pieces of art in the museum?
Do not touch.
Yeah, do not touch the freaking art.
Now, that actually brings up a good topic because, like, actually, my friend, he actually did a podcast about this, about, you know, cosplay, you know, not being consent and whatnot. And, like, I actually was explaining to him that, like, when I go to cons, I actually, even though I'm a cosplayer, I love to get as many pictures of cosplayers at the cons that I can. So, you know, sometimes, you know, I give me a picture with a beautiful cosplayer, and I will put my arm around them. But obviously, I don't, you know, go below, you know, touch her back, so I'm very respectful. But I typically don't ask to put my arm around her, and I never had an issue. But as my friend was explaining to me that I should get in the habit of asking permission first to put my arm around them, what are your guys' thoughts on that?
I do agree. Not because of the good guys like us,
right,
because of the stupid ones. The stupid ones are the reason the rules are made, not the good guys.
Yeah, so true.
Like, I've heard one story, Byron, about this female cosplayer, forget her name, talked about how she, for a little bit, she almost quit cosplaying and going to cons because there were a couple of times she'd come home and her ass was bruised purple and blue from idiots walking up and slapping it and pinching it, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
That is so disrespectful.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your opinion on it,
Bob? Oh, especially when it comes to, you know, being the paranoid individual that I am, I always make sure when dealing with females, especially when I'm 35, if they're, you know, older than me, respect them. If they're younger than me, I'm in like 20s and above, I make sure to say nothing that can be misconstrued. I also make sure to keep a distance. Just because I don't want anything, I'm a very, very friendly person for the most part, and I don't want anything that I do to make a female uncomfortable, because that just leads to problems. You know, I'll give an example for you. There are a lot of women who are like 16 to 18 years old. Now, when I work with them specifically, you know, I always keep the conversation light, pleasant, no jokes. I mean, no jokes that could be considered off color or anything. Just keep it 100% respectful, and that's what keeps me out of trouble. And a lot of guys in the United States and around the world have got to start that, because they're just being absolute pricks to young women or any woman who just don't deserve it, especially ones who put enough, so much work and so much effort and money into their cosplay, that all you do by being a jerk to them is ruin their experience. And that is seriously not cool. Okay.
And I understand a lot of you guys who act like animals only get out of your house once or twice a year to something that big. Heck, I'm the same. I only get to go home once a year. But do I act like a raving jackass? No, I save that for when I'm on the air.
Yeah, just seriously, respect women, especially at cons. I mean, seriously. And also, while you're out there, when you go to cons, please take a shower before you go. It's not that hard, not that stinky. Okay.
Yeah.
That's one thing I always want to go on about.
Byron's the one day, he'll probably have seen incidents of it, but he probably doesn't know the horribleness of the con funk.
Oh, man, the con funk is, you can literally smell that. It's like this miasma of death that just smacks you in the face, and you go, what the hell is that? Dude, I can smell you from 18 feet away. You need to wash your ass.
See, the thing is, with me, like, at cons, like I said, I'm usually like, because, like, when I go to a con, I like to enjoy myself. I usually come, like, I'm, like, so OCD about my schedule of things I like to do. So I'm usually keep to myself, so I'm on the move. So I've yet to run into someone with a con funk. Lucky I've avoided that.
Oh, yeah, you are so lucky, my friend, because it smells a combination of fart, body odor, spooge, and tacos.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand wanting to spend every second of your moment at a con having fun, but it takes 5 minutes to shower before you come.
Ugh.
Yeah, and the thing is, you always can bring deodorant with you, or cologne, you know. It's
right.
Oh, cologne can be part of the construct, too, especially if the guys take what they call axe bath. Have either of you heard about that unpleasant thing?
No.
It's where you don't wash, but they spray a crap load of the axe man, body fragrance and deodorant under their arms, trying to think that it will overpower the funk.
Yeah, that's what we call like a stinky hooker. It's so sad, but it's true. It's really gross, too.
And the worst thing would be about anyone who screws with a cosplayer, male or female, in there, is that most cosplayers, their devotion to making just one costume for 2 days out of the year is jaw-droppingly amazing.
Yes, it is.
I agree. I consider myself a quote-unquote part-time cosplayer because I only do probably between 1 to 3 costumes a year. But I have friends who do like 10 costumes a year or even more than that. And
wow.
Some of them take like a matter of months, weeks, or days. And just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. People would think, oh, they just buy the costumes. No, a lot of them, especially some of the ones the girls wear, if you don't know how to sew, then you're pretty much out of luck.
Yeah.
I wish
like
I had
three guys that come to Monster Bash every year. They spent over like $5,000 creating an actual working all the lights and bumpers and bells work proton packs.
Yes. Yes, they do. I think
and they say that it costs so much for the battery power, it's like $150 just to run the packs for the whole day.
Yeah,
and they have like custom-made jumpsuits.
And the battery they use is a little bit smaller than a car battery, so it's pretty heavy.
So I figure a lot of the cosplayers can look at us normal people who just wear shirts and go, wussies, you don't have no devotion.
Yeah. Wussy Guleman.
Yeah, and you know what, I mean, that's actually, yeah, something that's a subject to touch on. Like, I have some friends, like, I'm keeping on, because I'm always on Facebook, so I'm keep on resorting to Facebook. You know, I have some friends who are cosplayers, you know. Oh, I love your costume, and I want to get into cosplay. And I tell them, go ahead, I mean, get into it. Oh, well, you know, I'm just not that creative. You can buy a store-bought costume. You can get a commissioned costume. It really doesn't matter if you make your costume or not. I think that's the misconception a lot of newbies have.
Yeah. Like Wonder Woman, I've seen a lot of bustier stores sell that bustier. Official license, too. And they're pretty much a big, gigantic step up from what you would get as a regular costume.
Maybe Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've actually seen those. They've been around for, I want to say, at least since 2005 because I dated a girl who had one of those back in 2007-ish?
Yeah.
Maybe? I don't know. Maybe I'm having a memory lapse by choice. I don't know.
But still, it doesn't take a lot of overworking to get a great cosplay costume. Nowadays, with a lot of the dedicated masks and shops online, you could probably find everything you want.
Yeah. Like, for example, like, I know, like, a lot of Spider-Man cosplayers are my friends, and, I mean, Spider-Man, it's a popular cosplay. All you need to do is just buy a Spider-Man suit, and you're good to go, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't require any skill.
I mean, look how low-tech
skill.
They made it look in Civil War.
Yeah, I still haven't seen that yet.
You agree by it? I mean, how low-tech they made the Spider-Man suit look in Civil War?
You're asking me, do I low, like...
No,
I
mean how they made it look like it was just a suit that he could have picked up, like a bought a Spider-Man costume, rather than some elaborate, shiny thing and amazing and any of the other Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, I actually did like the suit in Civil War. You know, it had, like, the classic design. I liked it. But my favorite Spider-Man, I mean, he's still my favorite Spider-Man, but Tobey Maguire, I love the Spider-Man suit.
You know, a lot of people argue with the point of this one, but the Sam Raimi Spider-Mans with Tobey Maguire were the best ones so far. They were fun, they were bonkers, and the new Amazing Spider-Man movies, I heard were not that good. Is that true, or... I don't know.
Me, as a Spider-Man fan, to be honest, like the Amazing Spider-Man that came out in 2012, the first movie,
yeah.
I didn't go in with high expectations, but that's definitely my least favorite Spider-Man. Now, the Amazing Spider-Man 2 that came out a couple of years ago, that was an improvement, and despite my nitpicks, you know, thinking that, you know, I thought it had too many villains. It's definitely my second favorite Spider-Man movie to date.
All I got to say about the first Amazing Spider-Man movie is for the way they did the lizard, they made a hell of a killer croc.
And he also remember, he kind of, I don't know, you remember the Super Mario Brothers movie with Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he actually, Dr. Lizard, he actually reminded me of one of the Goomba troopers from that movie.
Nice.
And this Amazing Spider-Man made me, in Civil War, made me feel old. I'm like, you mean Marissa Tomei's old enough to play Aunt May?
She still looked good.
Oh, yeah, she still does. I mean, I was just crying. I'm like, I'm not that old.
Yeah.
The only cosplay I've never seen anyone really try was an elaborate Doc Octopus costume, but that would probably be insane to pull off.
Well, if the arms are individually controlled, yeah. I mean, there is a way to do it, you know, like you lift up your arms, like those old spider costumes you'd see, with the other arms connected. But you could pull it off with a pulley system and some hydraulics, but the amount of power that you need to do that would at least be 150 pounds plus. Additional to what your own body weight was equipped.
Yeah, I've actually seen some good Doc Ock cosplays. Now, yeah, you guys should look him up online. He's like one of my friends. I love basically all the cosplays he's done. His name is Revington, this chain cosplay. His Doc Ock cosplay was pretty awesome.
Well, Byron, we talked to the Ghostbusters guys at Monster Bash last year. They said they could only wear those photon packs. Was it like for 20 minutes at a time before they had to take it off because of the way their back was hurting?
Oh, yeah, because it's literally a flat slab of either steel or plyboard.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of effort that goes into it, I mean, you can buy the kits.
Yeah.
But still, the amount of effort to make a kit work like that, it's just, whew, wow.
Yeah.
I love it when someone goes to Aladdin with a costume.
What's that?
I love it when someone goes to Aladdin with a costume.
Oh, yeah. And it's even better because you know that you can see it in their eyes that they're proud of what they did.
Agreed.
So would you, in the future, would you ever consider...
What is your favorite cosplayers out there right now?
Oh, I have so many. Wow. You know, I love to, you know, I love to do my list. what, top five, top three, top 10?
Just try to do top three if you can.
Well, you know what? Actually, I made a post about this on Facebook today, about the top three cosplayers who I share their photos on my page the most.
Yeah.
And that list was definitely number one. There'd be Night Mage. I'm not sure if you guys know of him. He's a real good cosplayer. Does charity work, just an all-around good guy.
Nice.
Princess Morgan cosplay. Always share her photos on my page. And the Nightingale Vixen, she's a phenomenal cosplayer. Those are my top three.
The funniest costume I've ever seen, Brian, is someone did an Iceman from the X-Men issue 1.
When he resembled his snowman appearance?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the guy had just glued like cotton balls.
I would have loved to see that.
Yeah, that's inventive, though. Funny, but inventive.
There's only one costume I'm really glad that's dying down, and that's Wolverine.
Right. Well, it's kind of, I don't think Wolverine is, he's still a popular cosplay. I would at least put him in the top 10. But if you want to go top three, definitely Harley Quinn, Deadpool, and I would say a toss-up between Joker and Kylo Ren.
Yeah, Kylo Ren costumes are awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't see any Deadpool at Monster Bash this year.
Yeah, we had a guy dressed as Deadpool. A guy in the back was selling makeup prosthetics so you could turn yourself into a Joker from The Dark Knight.
I missed that completely.
I think it was here. You wasn't there, but he had like the makeup prosthetic where you like glue it to the side of your face in the professional grade white grease paint you would need to make the face makeup.
Oh, nice.
But I can see why the Heath Ledger Joker was such a popular one, because it's impossible to screw up.
Well, plus the character is very popular because it is just pure anarchy.
Yeah.
Now I have a question. What are your guys' thoughts on this? Like, you know, when they first released the photos of Jared Leto as Joker, all the fanboys, oh, I hate his look. He has tattoos. He doesn't, he's wearing bling. But a lot of people are cosplaying as Suicide Squad Joker.
Yeah.
What's your guys' thoughts on that?
I saw it and went, eh. Yeah, I try my best not to get too worked up over stuff in movies and films and media. Just it's like, all right, yeah, this is definitely not what I expected as a Joker per se, but it could work. Emphasis on could. And I never saw the movie because I just didn't interest me for some reason.
Wow, you never saw Suicide Squad? I'm surprised. Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't watch.
I haven't seen it yet, but I was broke that month. I barely had enough money to go out and see Don't Breathe.
Okay. Gotcha.
But the Suicide Squad Joker, if you remember, I seen this guy who did one to put like a list of complaints about the Joker, and at the bottom of it he said, okay, tell me which ones are about Suicide Squad and which ones are about The Dark Knight.
I don't know. It's just Suicide Squad didn't even slide it. I'm just weird like that.
I mean, it's funny. The exact same gripes, bitches, and moans about The Dark Knight are the same ones that we got when Suicide Squad comes out. They're afraid of any change.
Exactly.
But I will admit, I was on the crew that was making fun of Fantastic Four Rise of Silver Surfer for turning Galactus into a giant fart cloud.
Yeah, I would never get it. I'm still not going to get out of free pass that they could have had a giant Galactus in this classic look.
Well, the thing is the guy who produced the Fantastic Four movie, that one is the same one who produced X-Men movies, and he hates giant robots.
How could you hate giant robots? They're awesome.
I don't know.
Robots.
And that's why there weren't any Sentinels in Days of Future Past.
Which there should have been. Because that's the way they were in the comic books, but... Yeah.
You tell me, you're referring to what, their classic look of Sentinels, or? Because, I mean, there were Sentinels in Days of Future Past. They had the 70s and, like, the post-apocalyptic Sentinels.
Yeah. I'm talking about the classic giant purple ones, not the ones like Master Mold.
Gotcha, yeah.
Giant robots make the world go round.
Man, that's one of the weirdest things to really not like. You're doing a comic book movies, and you're doing one that requires giant freaking characters, but you hate giant freaking characters.
Yeah.
I mean, like me, like I'm a big fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I'm not going to say that everything they do is perfect. A lot of people hype them up to be, but I do give them credit with Thanos' look, where he, for the most part, he resembles his comic book counterpart.
Yeah. And I'm bringing this up as last question for 10 minutes for both of you. What do you think of all the idiots who are complaining about Marvel's Luke Cage because it has black characters in it?
That's just stupid to complain about. I mean, seriously. Anybody can act. It doesn't matter if they're white, green, purple, onion flavored, or, you know, from Mars. Anybody can act and be in a series. That is absolutely freaking ridiculous. Deep breath, I'm done.
I mean, Byron, isn't that the same as complaining about Steel because Steel was black, even though he was always written that way?
Yeah, I mean, I actually mentioned this to my friend, and I think that, like, regardless, I know it's 2016, but racism still exists, regardless of people want to admit it or not. And obviously, I just think that people are just not accepting of diversity overall. That's what it is.
Yeah, these two, Luke Cage and Iron Fist, are the two I've been looking forward to the most out of all of the Netflix universe.
I'm just sad that instead of doing the Heroes for Hire show, which they were going to do, they're just doing the separate Luke Cage and Iron Fist show.
I mean, I haven't actually, like, finished off Luke Cage. I'm, like, on episode 6. But I'll be honest, like, when I first watched the first couple of episodes, I'm like, it's okay. And then by the third episode, it started to pick up. I think it's because I thought the action got better.
Yeah. Well, at least they didn't change one thing about Luke Cage. I can tell from just looking at the pictures. That was his big one of his bigger traits in the comics, and that he was a booty man. Yes, in the comics, basically, Luke Cage has basically screwed almost every Marvel female superhero in the backside.
Yeah, hey, he's the man. What can you say?
I mean, if you watch the show, the ladies just love him on there.
Yeah, they said She-Hulk, Mrs. Fantastic. That was when Reed was dead and gone, so they used that as an excuse. Well, of course, Jessica Jones.
Speaking of Jessica Jones, you know, I was speaking about, you know, diversity. I actually never watched Jessica Jones, but I was wondering how did, you know, the fanboys, the public, how did they react to their live action, like, interracial relationship?
Oh, no. The fanboys already knew that they were pretty much a couple and that he was that Power Man was the father of her baby. There never was any backlash from the first time they met or anything. They just literally didn't care.
Wow, for once, fanboys didn't care. That's astonishing.
Yeah, I'm shocked. Yeah,
they didn't get insane until maybe the past 2 or 3 years, and then they started into the whole female fear thing.
I don't get it. Oh, well. I maybe I'm not that strong of a fanboy, but or maybe I'm just too chilled out. I don't understand any of it. So strange to me. Why can't you just be a fan and have fun instead of being angry all the time?
Most of our fellow fans are to be nice idiots.
Yeah, we've actually done a whole show on how bad fans can be.
They complain that the female cosplayers get mad when they're rudely accosted at cons. They're like, well, if they do want to do that, they shouldn't dress this way.
It just makes me wonder. Really, really does.
It makes me wonder what would they do back in the day if they had that, like, the old school grandmama or big mama. They would find out, you did what in a con to that woman? Then they get you. Then, no matter how old you are, you get your ass whipped.
You're gone right.
Yeah, I mean, I've only witnessed, like, one of them, but that's another thing, like, the cosplay con scene where, I'm sure you guys heard them, like, convention creepers, you know? Guys are just, hounding women. We're not interested in them.
Yeah. The worst I've seen is when you're Monster Bash, I was waiting in line to get Carolyn Monroe's autograph, and she's gorgeous. And this homeboy was standing there 3 minutes acting like he was trying to pick the picture when all the little pervert was doing was just staring down the front of her dress.
That's pathetic. Have some manners.
Yeah. And they wonder why they're single.
Yeah, I think I was there for that one, too. And that dude really was a creeper. He smelled funny, too.
Yeah. Remember the idiot? He was the one who backed up the line so much that the line was like trailing out of the room.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah. It's just, he should have been more considerate and not be such a twit. But, you know.
And with last question, what do you think of the way that some cosplayers have gotten to the level that conventions are offering them their own booths and using them as guests?
Well, that's been going on for a while now, and I'm okay with it, you know, getting exposure. I mean, more power to them. But me personally, like I said, I cosplay part time. I'm not doing it for any fame or any glory. I just do it for fun. And I know personally, I would never want to be a cosplay guest.
Yeah. Oh, you mean you wouldn't take a fully paid vacation for a weekend?
It's more, I'll tell you, it's probably more fun.
Well, let me track that. At today, well, it's only a few cosplayers who conventions, you know, get pay for traveling expenses and everything, like free board. But the thing is with me, like, I've actually spoken to a few cosplayers who are guests at conventions, and like when I'm at a con, you know, I like to explore. I like to attend panels and just do a lot of stuff. Now, like I said, I have a few friends who are cosplayers, and they've been guests at cons, and basically you have to, I can't speak for all of them, but I know some of them told me that they really don't get to explore the con. They're, like, stuck at their booths most of the day. And as me, as an active person at a con, that would just drive me nuts.
Yeah.
Me too.
I don't think I could do it either. Like, give me things to blah, blah, blah. And I was like, can I move around during the day? No, you have to block your table. Sorry.
Yeah.
I couldn't see Doc doing that either. Could you, Doc?
Oh, hell no. No. No, no, no. Nope. No, nope, nope, nope.
It's like with David Rock Nelson, we talked to him, he's like, I can get a table if I wanted, but why the hell? Well, I just couldn't sit around and do nothing all day. And I'm like, okay, I agree. Well, 1 minute to go, thank you for being on, Byron. I hope you had a good time.
I enjoyed myself, and like I said, it was a pleasure again. I really enjoyed myself talking about cosplay.
Yeah. And we will see you Sunday on Steve's Video Store for when we're doing 90s horror films. And after that, it's Tuesday with Carl Kafer's Music and Movie Emporium as we talk about folk horror. And then Friday, where it's tentative, he might change his mind. He changed his mind to the last second because he likes the power rush. Doc was going to have a horror comedy.
Yes. It'll be fun for all, fun for everybody. I'm taking out the age thing. It's fun for everybody.
Yeah.
Come visit us.
Yeah. And good night, everybody, and happy Hello Geeks Month.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Open the circuit to the wave motion gun. Open the circuit.
Let the chamber pressure increase. It's at full.
All the ship's energy is now in the wave motion gun.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
Oh, did I hurt your feelings?
The Magneto's right. There's a war coming.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
You sure you're on the right side?
Hasta la vista, baby.